Bills on second reading. House Bill 40, second reading of this House bill.
House Bill 40, Revisers Bill, sponsored by the Management Council.
House Bill 40, having been read two separate times, the question is there an amendment?
There's two.
Two amendments?
Yes.
Okay, read in the First Amendment, please.
House Bill 40, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 12 after line 2.
Senator Locklear.
I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 40. This is on the historic mine trail bypass bill that the Senate did. There is a change on line 19. It's a, once again, a reference 102B should have been 103B, and that's all there is to this amendment.
Discussion on the amendment? Not all in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 40. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. Second amendment. Please read in the second reading amendment.
House Bill number 40, second reading amendment number 2, and that should also be to the engrossed copy. Page 12 after line 2.
Senator Mockler.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You should have the corrected copy. I would move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 40 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. This was the conservation easements bill. If you look on page, on line 17, we had referenced 341206. They're changing it to 341207.
Discussion on the amendment? No discussion. All in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 40, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. House Bill 40, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 83, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 83, Medical Review Panel 2, sponsored by the Judiciary.
There are amendments. Reading clerk, please read in the First Amendment.
House Bill 83, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, lines 10 through 17.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, I just noticed this is in the wrong place. I'll withdraw this until tomorrow.
Without objections, it will be withdrawn. Read in the Second Amendment, please.
House Bill 83, second reading amendment number 2 to engrossed copy. Delete the Jennings Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Jennings. Excuse me, Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Vice President, I move second reading amendment to House Bill 83 and request that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, this amendment is brought to you by the Senate Judiciary Committee, and you'll see our names on there. I really think that we need to take a hard look at the amendment that we added on Committee of the Whole and discuss that issue even further. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it is important that we have a medical review panel that makes it through this legislature. And it is my belief, and I believe others' belief, that the best way to ensure that is to work from the original engrossed House Bill 83, the Green Amendment. I appreciate the efforts of the good senator from Natrona County because he's thought long and hard about that. And we have talked long and hard about his amendment and there are merits in some parts of it and others we have a disagreement about. Mostly what we do have a disagreement about is the admissibility portion, or even if you would call that admissibility. What it is an instruction at the very beginning of the trial to the jury from the judge on high with two or three words, potential malpractice or no potential malpractice. And I submit to you that I think that there's some real problems with that. I don't even know if that's evidence. I think it is questionable what that is. But regardless, what you have done is skewed that trial right at the beginning. Now, I know that the good senator from Natrona County had talked about the people that he had been talking to up in Natrona County, but I've been having a long dialogue with one of the most well-known defense attorneys in Casper concerning this amendment and this bill, and this is what he says, and he defends doctors. Making the panel decision will hurt defendants in many cases. Ideally, making the decision inadmissible is best. Making the decision inadmissible is best for health care providers. Having the panel decision admissible at the discretion of the trial court would be less than ideal, but potentially a workable compromise. And in essence, what he's making reference to is the original House Bill 83 that has that at the discretion of the trial court. The other thing that I think was telling about this is that last week, when we were hearing this, the doctor of the day happened to be a friend of mine from Cheyenne here, who does the OB work. And afterwards, he said to me, he said, we were talking out behind the bar, and he said, or whatever that wall is there, not at the bar, he found it to be real problematic, that language. And in fact, he thought that that would be more harmful to doctors than not. Think about it. What we're talking about is potential medical malpractice. That's all. And as the good senator from Laramie indicated the other day, that lowers the bar of evidence. And all of a sudden now, with such language as that read to the jury, right off the bat from the judge on high, I think you have tainted that trial. So I'd urge you to reconsider this, to defeat the Jennings Amendment, and we'll continue to work on this bill on third reading. But I'd move for passage of this amendment number 2.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think that the good senator has a good points there. There has always and always will be a disagreement over how or if this information in whatever form should be admissible. That's been the crux of the entire debate on this. My question is, why are we asking to defeat an entire amendment for one disagreement? Why didn't we bring an amendment up to change the admissibility? Because what we're really talking about here is we're talking about everything else that was in the amendment. The other parts of the amendment were taking it from a trial, a mini trial, as the good senator from Laramie pointed out the other day, will cost the client tens of thousands, if not $100,000, in the panel part of the review before you ever get to trial. So if our problem is with the admissibility, then let's address the admissibility. We could have easily brought an amendment and we would be debating that today, but instead we're being asked to completely disregard the issues of the mini trial versus a review. We all got a copy of this today, and the good senator from Sheridan asked me, does this mean that I always agree, will always agree with the newspaper and what they're right? No, just on this particular time I'll agree with them. And I think that they were right. And I think that they are absolutely right, because they say the panel shouldn't substitute the trial. And that's what we're doing. We're putting a mini trial together. We have witnesses. We have subpoena power. Just bypass the panel and go to trial, because that's what we're building. The problem is we're building a trial with amateur judges. We're bringing professionals in their area, and whether it's a three-member panel or a five-member panel, we're bringing doctors and lawyers and lay people, and they may be excellent people in what they do, but they're not trained as judges. We're going back and telling them that they need to use certain rules to bring in evidence and inquire with the witnesses what happened and stuff like this. They're not judges. They haven't been trained in that. But yet we're taking good everyday citizens and telling them it's their civic duty to come serve on this panel and become a judge. What we passed on Friday would eliminate that. What we passed on Friday was a simple review of the data. Each side prepares their data, they present it to the panel, three members, five members, doesn't really make that much difference, but they submit it to the panel reviews it, and they say, looks like it or it doesn't look like it, it's potential, or, I mean, the words don't make any difference. If we're going to push it into court, then let's decide how or if we're going to push it into court. Let's not kill something that would keep our citizens from being put into a job that they've not been trained for. Keep our judges being judges. Don't take our people and try to make judges out of them. I would hope that we would defeat this amendment, we'd stick with the one that we voted on Friday, and then we put our heads together this afternoon, and on third reading we come back with the changes that we think that we need to make. And I agree there are some. Good senator from Riverton came up with an idea on the panel. Let's do it more like arbitration when we pick the third member. There's a lot of good ideas floating around here, but if what we're doing is we're trading one bill because we like the way the admissibility came out in it, and we're trying to go back to that, or one way or another we're going to have to work on admissibility, or we're going to have to work on mini trial. So I'd say let's just keep this one, and let's go to work on the other part of it, and figure out how the admissibility comes in. I'd hope that you would defeat this amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, speaking on and against the amendment, Mr. Vice President, this amendment, I think, really is going to be the fundamental issue on this bill. And for that reason, I'm going to ask for the yeas and nays. The key issue here is, are we going to do something effective with the review panel? Or are we going to have a review panel that's just window dressing so we can say we did something to implement Amendment C, but it won't do anything to change how the real world works? And I think if we defeat this amendment, we're going back to a version that does nothing. It won't change in the slightest how the world works. This one, at least, the decision is admissible in court, and it will be seen by the jury. And once you have that, then you have a powerful engine to change the settlement process. And that's what's key, Mr. Vice President, because we don't use juries in this area. What, 5% of the cases, something like that, in Wyoming, medical malpractice cases, ever get near a jury? You're trying to influence the settlement process. And, Mr. Vice President, I think the key here is the admissibility, because absent that, the rest of it is just a game. And I've been looking what we've been doing this session. We have passed no bills that will have any real impact on this whole malpractice or healthcare provider availability problem, physician availability problem. We have passed almost nothing that deals with the rising cost of healthcare and the underlying causes. We expanded Medicaid eligibility by about 50 people. We passed the trauma care. We'll do a little on the cost shifting, but it won't do very much. We have done almost nothing. And this bill represents our last chance to do something meaningful in either one of those two areas. So I would urge that we adopt a bill with at least some teeth in it, and admissibility is the teeth. And let's defeat this amendment, go on to third reading. I can give you a suggestion or two for improving the admissibility provisions. But there are some ways you could improve those. But having it guaranteed admissible is absolutely key, because otherwise you really don't have any influence on the settlement process.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I was on the Joint Judiciary Committee, and I know that when it left our committee this summer, we tried to make it as close to the old statute with a few improvements, because all the testimony that we had was that the old medical panel review panel actually worked. And I haven't gotten to the details of this, but I can't recall myself at this time whether or not the original medical review panel that we had before Amendment C was passed actually had the admissibility to court. But we knew, you know, from all the testimony that that worked, with one exception, that it wasn't timely. And so it kind of stopped the due process system because of the timeliness of it. And that's eventually why it was ruled unconstitutional. But Mr. Vice President, if someone can give me the information as to whether the old panel had admissibility in this manner or not. But I do know one thing, the old panel did work.
Senator Job.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I rise in support of this amendment. And there are merits to the argument and issues both ways. But I'm uncomfortable knowing that this bill, the medical review panel, is a tremendously important piece of work that we need to do this session. And the bill that we would go back to originally came from a joint interim committee, where we had eyes and minds from both sides of the legislature working on this, and there was extensive public comment and public input. And then it goes through the session, and it comes where we're dealing with it at the last minute, and we adopt amendment that has not had all the consideration, all the thought, or the public input. And because I think this is so tremendously important, I cannot throw out all the process of the bill for what we've done in the last couple of days. And so I would ask the body to support this amendment. Let's go back and take a good look and fix anything in the bill that came to us from across the Capitol and do the work we need to do and turn out a good piece of legislation. Thank you.
Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I'm probably the only person in this building that's ever sat on been the defendant for a medical review, not the defendant, the plaintiff for one of these panels under the old bill, and no, it is not admissible. We went through it, a decision was made, and then we went on to district court, and it most definitely wasn't admissible.
Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I had the privilege of serving on a medical review panel in 82, 83. It gets foggy. There were two attorneys and two medical providers and a layman, of which was I. It was an interesting situation. We got there about 10 o'clock, and we visited for a while, and we had a presentation of what was on one side and had a presentation on the other. The plaintiff and the defendant were both there. They were both represented by attorneys. We asked questions informally, visited about it. We all got a feel for it. Had lunch, came back, The five of us talked about it. The layman and the two attorneys asked the two doctors that were on the panel technical questions because we weren't versed in that. The overall view of it was that the panel didn't think that the case had any merit. We went back. We told them that. We told them why we thought it was. We had a pretty good discussion about it. And afterwards, when it broke up, we thought that if the doctor just could have said he's sorry, it probably wouldn't have happened. And that's why what we did last summer with the I'm sorry bill probably would have prevented all the trouble we went through with that panel. The plaintiff and her attorney did take it to heart. They didn't pursue it any further. Apparently the doctor went on about his business and that was the end of it. It was successful. I think the plaintiff got satisfaction. She got to air out the problems. She, within this forum, the doctor and the plaintiff were able to discuss it, and I think they come to an understanding. And I'm not sure that that would happen in all cases, but it certainly did in that one. So the bill that is in the statute right now, or the law that's in the statutes right now that was considered unconstitutional in that event, did work.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple of things, and I think every member, hopefully, of this legislature wants to come out of here with a medical review panel that the people of this state can trust. And I think the previous bill and the bill that came from the House, based upon that previous bill, I think it has a trust factor built into it. There are a couple of things that need to be changed, as Senator from Natrona County has indicated, and we can work on those. But the interesting thing is, I think the trust issue for the doctors and for the people of this state is particularly important for us to come out of here with a bill that they can see, instead of something that they're not familiar with, that the House certainly. Maybe I wasn't supposed to refer to the House, but to that the people down the hall or whatever, that there were people there that had a trust in what they sent over here. And what I heard over the weekend and from a couple of doctors is that they feel that some of the things that are in this amendment are skewed against them right up front. And I will tell you about the admissibility of evidence. Is I think it should be our decision on that issue alone, how we go with that. But we have to trust our judiciary system. And instead of just an up or down thing, I am much more comfortable with allowing them to present the evidence to the judge and let that decision be made when he's got it all before him, instead of just no or yes. And so I guess for those reasons, I would discourage us from defeating this amendment and encourage us to pass the amendment and hope that we can then work tomorrow on the improvements that the senator from Natrona County and several other people feel need to be made. Thank you.
Anyone else want to speak before the second time of the Senator Jenny?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response to the good senator, the judge will see all the evidence if it goes to trial. There's no reason that anything that would happen in a review panel would withhold any evidence. So if you go to trial, all the evidence will be presented. And my good friend from the other side of the state, when he sat on that review panel back then, that's 22 years ago. Legal abilities and legal directions and legal aggressiveness has changed a lot in 22 years. That was a time when we were gentler and kinder than it is today. So I would say that it's not a bill that we were familiar with. It was a bill that we had 22 years ago, when many of our citizens were more worried about riding their bicycle than they were a medical review panel. So I also would say that the problem that was mentioned on the old one was timeliness. We right now have a lot of places where it takes 2 years to get a court date. This panel can move a lot quicker than that. When you're ready to go, you file your papers, you have a couple months or so, and the panel meets, and they tell you that it looks like you ought to keep going or you ought to stop. I think we have a good base with what we have right now, and I think tomorrow that we ought to work off that base and address the issue that's the issue, and that's the admissibility. Again, I'd hope that you would defeat this amendment.
Senator Barrasso.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Vice President. Just very quickly, we heard about the bill that this joint committee came up with and how everybody's familiar with it and comfortable with it, and that's what's been worked with. Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice President, I just printed out 7 pages of changes to what we were all familiar with and what we all said was wonderful and what we all decided on in the interim. 7 pages of changes that occurred before we got it, and what we're discussing now is deleting an amendment which is 7 pages, the exact same amount of changes that's occurred prior to our debate today as a result of this beautiful thing that everybody's so familiar with. Mr. Chairman, I think that we need to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion before the sponsors take a second term? Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Clearly, the issue that we're going to face here in this reading and the next reading is admissibility, and there's no doubt about that. There are other issues with this amendment, and just in terms that we haven't had debate about, in terms of the composition of the panel, who's on the panel, how do we get there, and I know the good senator recognized the senator from Fremont County with regards to maybe how we select another panel member. But let me submit to you that there is a debate that we haven't had. The current bill has 5 members, 2 doctors, 2 lawyers, and 1 layperson. And I do believe that that is the way to go. I believe that it does provide more balance, and it prevents a situation where you have 1 really strong member of the panel who can sway 1 other member, and then you have a decision. And then you have a decision that's read to the jury at the time of the trial of potential or no potential malpractice. And I do want to point out to you that, in fact, when we had the original statute and then the Home decision came out, then a number of constitutional questions were raised by the appellants in that case, one of them which was equal protection, and that's what the court found its decision on. But the other issue that they never got to was the question of whether or not the medical review panel unconstitutionally infringes upon the constitutional and inherent power of the Wyoming Supreme Court in violation of Article 5, Section 2 of the Constitution. Never got to that. But I submit to you that with this issue of admissibility is that very fact. It is that very issue which could render our whole medical review panel unconstitutional, and we're back to square one again. So I urge you to pass this amendment, and then we can work on the bill as it goes forward from there. But let's do the right thing. Kill this amendment now.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, I was not going to rise again, but the constitutional question on admissibility does deserve a response, because we've heard that. And, you know, the argument is separation of powers. There are quite a number of other states that have review panels. I'll cite just a few. Indiana, Louisiana, and Maine has similar division of powers to what we've got. All the states do. And they have admissibility of the results of the panel. There's some variation. Some of them require a unanimous decision to be admissible. There's a number of other states that also have it. I think that argument is a red herring. If our courts behave any manner similar to the courts in other states, there shouldn't be any problem at all. I would urge us to defeat this amendment.
Senator Massey.
One point here, and so that folks understand what we're voting on. By supporting this amendment, we are going back to the version of the bill that came here, which does have admissibility in it. It just simply leaves it up to the discretion of the judge on how it's going to be introduced or if it'll be introduced, but there is admissibility in it. The present version of the bill, which this amendment, if we pass, were to take off, has a required reporting at a certain time, which does raise questions about whether or not it's appropriate for the legislative branch to tell the Supreme Court and the judicial branch if that is the proper way of doing it. Okay. So that's the differences primarily between these two bills, but both of them, in most cases, the decision of this panel is going to be introduced as evidence in a jury trial. It's our decision on how we want to see that done.
The ayes and nays have been called for. The question is on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 83. Will the amendment pass? The chief clerk will call the roll, please.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Barrasso?
No.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Haynes?
Aye.
Pox?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
No.
Peck?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 15 ayes, 15 noes.
The amendment has failed. House Bill 83 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection? It is so ordered. House Bill 166, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 166, Loan for Airport Development, sponsored by Representative Illaway.
House Bill 166, Senator Hawks.
Mr. Vice President, can I make a couple of comments on this bill? A couple of questions came up in Committee of the Whole debate that I said I try to bring answers to the body on. The first dealt with the constitutionality of a revolving fund and then the direction of that interest back into the special earmarked account. Both are unconstitutional, right? Both are unconstitutional, and we were right to kill that amendment. And then there was this question brought up about the existing loan, how much it had been used, and where does it stand at this point in time. There's been a total of $971,000 loaned out, and there's currently $536,000 outstanding and current.
Thank you. House Bill 166, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 175, Second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 175, TANF, T-A-N-F, increase, sponsored by Representative Warren.
House Bill 175, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 195, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 195, Forestry Division Appropriation, sponsored by Representative Lubnow.
House Bill 195, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 201, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 201, Crime Victim Service Providers Funding, sponsored by Representative Dirks.
House Bill 201, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 223, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 223, Suicide Prevention, sponsored by Representative Zwanitzer.
House Bill 223, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 237, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 237, Child Protection, sponsored by Representative Robinson.
House Bill 237, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 240, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 240, Establishment of Public Roads, sponsored by Representative Olson.
There are amendments. Would the reading clerk please read in the First Amendment?
House Bill 240, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 7.
Senator DiCaria.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 240, and I ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. Mr. Vice President, all this really does is, on the change, where we're talking about the roads on federal public lands, as I insert state public lands as well. It seems to me these issues always come down to, you know, we don't like the federal government doing this, but it's all right if the state does it. And so in this case, to me, it's like, you know, if it's going to be good and we're going to tell the federal government, you know, or federal regulations, we're going to go along with that. It seems to me that we should have the same criteria as far as state. And I know there's a difference in ownership, and that's a driver on a lot of these issues. But it seems to me that, you know, if it's going to fit in one way, maybe we ought to look at it at both sides. And so that's why I decided to include the state lands as well as federal lands in that amendment. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. Mr. Vice President, I'm not sure, and fellow senators, what this would do to the bill or wouldn't or would do. It's not exactly that germane, I guess, because the bill was mostly trying to address RS-2477 roads on federal lands, but, you know, I guess I'll just tell you, vote it up or down. I don't really know how this affects the bill one way or the other.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Vice President, with regard to this amendment, where you're bringing the state in under the same procedure as what the Senate, the House bill we're on, the state already has a procedure to go back, to make roads, but also to go back and reconstruct roads. It's done by rule. It's already spelled out very specifically. My fear is that by including it under this process, in fact, we make it so we'll have two different ways to reconstruct roads on state lands. And with two ways, it means probably nothing ever gets done. I urge you to vote this amendment down.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes a second time? Senator DiCaria.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Well, Mr. Vice President, again, you know, I've been in here a lot of times, and I've heard that as far as, you know, the federal government, and we dislike some of the the way the federal government treats the state of Wyoming, and I agree with many of those. But it seems to me that then we come to the state, and because it's a different entity and a different issue, we say, well, we're going to let that happen differently. And usually it revolves around ownership and who's controlling those lands, and that's my fear, is that sometimes because of the people that are controlling those lands, we treat that issue very differently in access to those state lands than we do the access to the federal lands. And so to me, it seems to me there should be some even-handedness in this. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Those in favor of second reading amendment number one to House Bill 40, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
That has been defeated. The second amendment, reading clerk, please read.
House Bill 240, second reading amendment number two, page one, line two.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Vice President, I move second reading amendment number two to House Bill 240. And ask that we dispense with further reading. Mr. Vice President, have those who are football fans have over the years, every so often see a play where the ball's handed off to the running back, and he runs all the way to the sideline, and then it sees the way blocked, but he's not tackled. He runs all the way back to the other sideline, and comes all the way back, ends up gaining about 3 yards. That's what this amendment basically does. It's a lot of reading. And you find out, and you suddenly realize that it's basically the bill, again, or all the language in the bill, with the exception of the new language. And Mr. Vice President, what this bill basically does is it puts a sunset on this procedure that this bill accomplishes. The testimony that was given in Transportation Committee, as we were told on the floor here, was that this allows the counties a window to establish these roads. Well, my idea of a window has a start in time, has a start and an end. Without this sunset on it, there is no window. It just starts and it never ends. So, Mr. Vice President, I urge the favorable consideration of this amendment and be glad to take any questions or just sit down and take a vote.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. Vice President, on and against this amendment. First of all, I don't think we need to be locking up the county procedures for and not letting access for public road right-of-ways. When you think about it, it just isn't even practical. And another thing is, commissioners are not going to go out and create a lot of roads because what if we pass this bill? If you think about it a little bit, cities and towns and developers create more roads than any county commissioner ever thought about doing in this state. They create roads all over the place. If you check the history back on this, and I don't really have the statistics and don't want to pretend like I do, but I would just about be willing to say, or I would be willing to say, that you will find very few roads that were ever created by commissioners over the last several decades. They just don't do it because they know that they're going to be responsible for this. Look what it took them. It took them for 50 years. This law was in effect between 1924 and 1976, and they still never got the job done. That's why we're still trying to do it. Commissioners are pretty darn resistive to creating a bunch of new roads. They just don't do it. But there is a need sometimes for them to be able to have a legal means of being able to identify roads as public road right-of-ways. And that's all this bill does.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my concern with it is I think all the bill simply does, if I understood the literature that was handed out, was preserve or grandfather rights of roads that were existent prior to 1976. What the amendment will do is require that if you have those grandfathered rights, you have to enforce them within 2 years or they expire. I don't know why, if you want to grandfather rights, why would you would require an enforcement within 2 years? If there are roads that are grandfathered out there, let them exercise the rights when they exist. But I may be reading it wrong and read the literature wrong, but I think that's really all it is. It's just grandfathering rights that exist and why require that they be enforced. You had to go out and assess whether your road is one of those grandfathered roads, and now you have to enforce it within 2 years.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Sessions.
I'd just like to take this chance to ask a question again. If this was in effect from 1924 to 1976, then how can we as a state reach back into that if that law is no longer there? How can we reach back into that and grandfather anything in if the law is no longer in place? And I guess that's a problem I have with this, and I'd like that question answered. Thank you.
Senator Scott.
Yeah. Mr. Vice President, let me see if I can answer that. I am a little unclear as to the extent. I suppose it's relevant since the sunset makes almost anything relevant. The mechanism whereby the roads were established was a self-executing one. You just went ahead and constructed your two-track and used it and became a road in the county if they maintained it at all, maintained it. And you didn't need to get any federal permission. What's gone out of existence is the ability to construct a new road without federal permission. There's a different process for that now. But we can continue to claim the roads that were in existence in 1976 as being county roads and define them as such. And then the question becomes, was it there in 1976? So that's how it works. What's gone out of existence is the ability to create a new one. And what you're trying to do with this is preserve the ones that were in existence then.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just to add hopefully a little clarity to, or some additional information to the issue. My memory's a little shaky on this, so if this is incorrect, I hope that somebody will correct me. It's my understanding that this issue came to the forefront a few years ago, or several years ago, particularly in Utah, as land management agencies were considering taking some roadless areas and converting them into wilderness areas. And areas that had just simply been two-track roads that had been used back in the 20s and 30s and been abandoned, or seldom used, were suddenly used as a mechanism in order to try to knock some of those lands out for consideration as wilderness or roadless. And I think that this is the same issue. And by passing this amendment, we will give county commissioners the ability I wouldn't say abrogate, but perhaps compromise those areas that are now considered roadless because roads have been abandoned or two tracks have been abandoned previously, but under this they now could go in and say that they're highways or that they're access highways. And that's the whole reason for the pre-FLIPMA type of designation is to go back and do that in order I don't know exactly how to state it, but certainly to have an impact on land use planning in which something is either designated roadless or wilderness. And I think that that's the tool that this language has been used in some cases around the country.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Cooper.
Point of order here. Are we talking about the amendment or are we talking about the bill?
We're on the amendment. Discussion, further discussion on the amendment? Senator Case.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the fact that the amendment has a sunset kind of brings to the point is, do we want the bill to continue or not? So I think you have to, would hope the chair would grant a little bit of leeway in that way because of the sunset of the amendment on the point of order. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion before the sponsor take his second term? Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, and I hope I wasn't misreading what was being testified to or what was being spoken on the floor yesterday when this bill was introduced. That this amendment putting a sunset on this meets the spirit of the way this bill was presented in my mind yesterday, that there was all this pressure built up on these roads. It still allows the 2 years for these counties to go ahead and do this. Now, if that's not the case, I think I'm the last one speaking on this amendment, but I think those who were speaking about this bill at least gave me the wrong impression as to what this bill does and the reason this bill came along.
The question is on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 240. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those no?
No.
That amendment have been defeated. House Bill 240 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Senator Johnson?
Oh, I'm rising in anticipation of you finishing that.
Okay. House Bill 240 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senator Johnson?
May I have privilege of the floor, Mr. Vice President?
You may.
Thank you. We have an impressive group of youths in the West Balcony. With them is their teacher, Shannon Grover. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the government classes from East High School in Cheyenne. Will you please welcome them?
Welcome to the Senate. We're glad to have you here today. House Bill 243, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 243, Firefighters Dependents Tuition, sponsored by Representative Lubnow.
House Bill 243, having been read excuse me, there is an amendment. Reading clerk would please read the amendment.
House Bill 243, second reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 1.
Senator Allman.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'd like to move the first reading on second reading of House Bill 243 and dispense of further readings. I was listening when we were introducing this bill the other day from the senator from Laramie County, and she got me thinking, and that's kind of dangerous at times. But what this bill, this amendment basically does is we change firefighters, and we go into also including volunteer emergency medical service personnel and volunteer search and rescue personnel. I feel it's only fair that if we are working on protecting the dependents of these people, if they are sacrificing their time and their life in defending or taking care of the people of Wyoming, that these other two groups are part of that too. They risk their lives also to save other people's lives. And so what this amendment does is change the wording in this bill. I did approach the author of the bill, and he was all in favor of it. In fact, he thought he was planning on doing it in the first place, but somebody had talked to him about something, and so he just did the firefighters. If it's going to change money, now I know that'll be, first off, we as EMTs and as search and rescue members, we hope we never have to use this bill. I mean, and when we're training, our main training every time we train is to keep ourselves safe, because we know that if we hurt or harm ourselves, we won't be any good to who we're trying to save their lives to. So I do believe that this is a very good bill, and I just think that it's something that we should have and increase the coverage to more volunteer people. I know the Highway Patrol has a similar type of a program,
In fact, quite a few years ago, one of my best, good friend of mine's husband was on, he was working on I-80, and when he stopped to issue a ticket, a drunk driver ran into him and killed him. His children, to this day, are now using a program similar to this and going to school. And I think it's well worth it. It doesn't happen very often. In fact, I have been on the phone calling, and in the EMT, since they've started, they've had two people that were EMTs that died in the service, but they were also paid EMTs. It was on a helicopter crash quite a few years ago. And this bill doesn't address paid employees because they should be covered in other directions on that. And I just really feel that this would be a good thing, and I don't think it will be a big money problem, because hopefully we don't have to use it, but if we do use it, I think it's worthwhile for both our search and rescue members and our state EMTs to have that.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'm quite sympathetic with this amendment. We heard a very good reason why we should consider it. But I do want to ask the chair to rule on the germaneness of the amendment. And I just don't want to endanger the bill or create a problem here in the waning days. The first line of the enacting clause, which is really what guides us in determining whether an amendment is germane, says an act relating to firefighters, and now we are changing that entirely to volunteer emergency responders. So again, I'm asking whether or not the amendment would be germane in that light.
I would rule that it is not germane because of that reason that you just gave, Senator Massey. Chair can be challenged, Senator Altman.
Mr. Vice President, I'd like to challenge that and have a Rules Committee. We need to have one, at least.
All right. I believe that is done with a roll call or just a voice vote.
We're just at E. Rules Committee meeting. We're just at E.
Okay. The Rules Committee will meet on the issue. Please.
Mr. Rules President. Committee will meet immediately in the sunny office on the left over here.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I think you have to put the committee of the whole at ease to the sound of the gavel while the Rules Committee gets whipped upon.
A motion?
No,
I'm sorry.
Okay. The committee of the whole is at ease. Okay. Well, at ease, wherever we're at, until the sound of the gavel.